Bonjour et bienvenue sur le podcast Insensé. Ici, Kelly Méran. Insensé, c'est le podcast en quête de sens. J'y interview de belles âmes qui alignent leurs valeurs, leurs rêves et leurs croyances avec leur projet de vie. Et ça fait sens. Insensé, c'est aussi un podcast indépendant qui a besoin de vous. Pour le faire vivre, je vous invite à ajouter 5 étoiles et un commentaire sur Apple Podcasts. Ça m'aide énormément.
Voici comment l'histoire a commencé.
Je crois que ce surmenage nous guette tous.
Eh ben alors ?
La vie moderne étant ce qu'elle est.
Vous bossez, vous bossez, vous bossez, vous bossez.
What's your purpose ? What's your cause ? What's your belief ?
C'est du bon pain.
Craquer au bureau.
Bosh !
Réfléchissez.
La vie a-t-elle un sens ?
Qui suis-je ?
Il est complètement fou ce mec !
Today's episode is in English. I am pleased to welcome Dr. Benjamin Hardy. He is an organizational psychologist and best-selling author of Willpower Doesn't Work. This book helps you to discover some hidden keys to success. His blogs have been read by over 100 million people and are featured on Forbes, Fortune, CNBC, Think Big, and many others. He is a regular contributor to Inc. and Psychology Today. He is also one of the top first writers in the world on Medium.com. Benjamin gave multiple inspiring TED Talks with subjects including how to turn difficult situation into progress, on what to do when willpower doesn't work. Benjamin and his wife Lauren adopted 3 children through the foster system in February 2018, and 1 month later, Lauren became pregnant with twins. An entire family popped. Being a foster parent has helped him become a professional writer. Obsessed by growth and learning, he has been studying passionate subjects like addiction, willpower, decision fatigue, high performances, ideal environment to make changes, as well as personality, which is his new playground. We all think personality is permanent when it's not. His latest book has just been released, entitled Personality Isn't Permanent. All links are available in the description of the episode. Please welcome Dr. Benjamin Hardy. Benjamin, I'm honored to welcome you on the Insensé podcast. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. Just happy to be talking to you.
Me too, actually. Please start by telling us your story, your path, by highlighting the crossroads, the route B, the kind of itineraries that you have made and that helps you become who you are today.
Yeah, I think some of the main things that happened for me was my parents getting divorced, my father becoming an extreme drug addict, my life kind of getting thrown upside down. And, you know, this is when I was 11 years old. And so I was the oldest of 3 boys and just kind of needed to learn how to move forward. Obviously, as a teenager, I didn't really do too much. I kind of just escaped. You know, I'd play a lot of video games, skateboarded. Luckily, I stayed out of a lot of trouble for the most part. Definitely got into some trouble, but I think one of the things, just kind of thinking about it now, that helped me get through it was that I did have a goal. I did want to serve a church mission, although I was not sure if I would fully do it, but I did want to do that. And I think that that goal helped me to kind of avoid a lot of the negative things that started happening around me. I ultimately did go serve that church mission when I was 20 years old. I served in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and just did a lot of community service, just teaching, helping, a lot of reading. I started journaling on my mission. And that was the experience that really changed my life, that led me to wanting to study psychology. And then obviously I did study psychology, got a PhD. And while I was studying, my wife and I became foster parents of 3 kids. I started writing blogs. We eventually adopted them. Now we live in Orlando and have 5 kids. So it's kind of been a journey, but there was a lot of really hard, painful experiences, a lot of really beautiful learning experiences, and then a lot of education and just kind of choosing to move forward. I'm a big believer in having a vision and kind of moving through challenges towards your goals?
I heard it was quite a journey to become foster parents. I discovered that in your TEDx Orlando talk. Can you please share with us the learning that you had from this on yourself?
Well, like when you take on such an intense challenge, you can't really predict everything that's going to happen. You know, you don't know exactly how the kids are going to be. You don't know what their challenges are. You don't know how they're going to behave. And you don't know how you're going to respond. I mean, we obviously chose to be foster parents, but it was one of those situations where once we were kind of in it and we were dealing with these three kids, you know, I had to really ask myself the hard questions. Is this something I really want? You know, is it worth it? Is there a light at the end of this tunnel? And that's kind of where, you know, my higher level beliefs came in, where I was like, this is worth it. This is something worth investing in. This is who I want to become. These kids are worth it. You know, and that's when you really have to start getting out of yourself. I did talk in that TED talk about how how the foster kids also kind of pushed me in a good way. Not that they specifically did, but because my situation was so different and because I felt this intense sense of responsibility, it led me to begin writing online. And I'd wanted to write for a long time. This was in 2015. I'd wanted to be a writer since about 2010, but I didn't really do anything for about 5 years. And then when we got the foster kids, I really started writing because I felt pressure. There's a really good quote that basically says, this is from Will Durant, that he says, the ability of the average person could be doubled if the situation demanded it. And so that's kind of how I felt. I felt like my situation was demanding me to kind of grow up and to show up a lot better. And so I just felt like I really need to start living my dream, which was to be a writer. And so I just kind of went for it. So I kind of can thank my situation and the foster kids for that. But that, they also just taught me so much. And I'm learning how to be a more flexible, patient, humble person.
And this writing, like the wake-up call that was linked to like starting to write, was it to help you grow? Was it to help you heal? Was it to understand the situation better?
No. I wanted to become an author. I'd wanted to become an author since my mission. I got home from that mission in 2010, and then I started immediately into school and was doing a 4-year degree, and then I was in graduate school when I first got these kids. And so it wasn't really, I had always journaled, you know, I journal all the time and I've filled stacks of journals. I never stopped journaling. So all through all those 5 years, I was journaling and learning psychology and learning ideas that I would want to write about. Learning things about spirituality and faith and things that mattered to me. But I never started writing for an audience. I never started putting my work out there for other people. And I wanted to become an author where I would, you know, help other people and write for other people. So that's what really it pushed me to do, is to start writing online, trying to like share my ideas or share or help other people or inspire other people.
Really interesting. In your latest book, which I was lucky enough to discover, Personality Isn't Permanent, you quote Daniel Gilbert, who says human beings are works in progress that mistakenly think they're finished. Can you tell us a little bit more about those myths that we link to personality and how to break them?
Yeah, I love that quote, that human beings are works in progress that mistakenly think we're finished. I think that as people, we tend to think that we are who we are. You know, this is who I've always been. This is who I'll always be, without realizing that we've actually changed a lot already. One of the things that Daniel Gilbert does, and he's a Harvard psychologist. He's a psychologist at Harvard University, which is one of the kind of most prestigious schools in the world. But he asks people, do you believe you're the same person that you were 10 years ago? And most people say no. Most people think that they've changed quite a bit in the last 10 years. What he then does is he asks, well, do you think you're going to be the same person in 10 years from now? Talking about 10 years into the future. And most people actually say, yeah, I think I'll probably be pretty much the same. And so most people think that they've changed a lot, but they don't think they're going to change anymore. And so that's kind of what he means when he says human beings are works in progress that mistakenly think they're finished. We think that who we are right now is kind of just who we are. And we we often overly define our current selves. You can define yourself by saying, like, you know, I'm an introvert, or I'm a creative person, or I'm bad with people, or I'm not social, or I'm a good leader. Like, it's fine to say all those things, but sometimes you're overly defining your current self. And one of the things that I'm trying to help people understand in this book is that your current self actually doesn't matter that much. Your current self is fine, but you shouldn't overly define your current self, because in the future, you're going to be different. In the future, you're going to be a different person. And so rather than worrying so much about who you are today, it's more important to think about who you want to be in the future and to define who you want to be, you know, and what situation do you want to be in, and what kind of person do you want to be in? What do you want your life to be like? That's more important than who you are today. And if you take the time to really imagine and think about who you want to be in the future, then you can start using that to start guiding what you do today, rather than worrying so much about who you are today.
And is it a matter of comfort? I'm thinking about the comfort zone of thinking, okay, I'm Kelly, I'm a creative person. There's kind of comfort that I find in it. Is it something that I should go away from to grow? Is that what you're trying to explain here?
Yeah, I think that your personality in a lot of ways is your comfort zone. It's what you're comfortable doing. It's what you're used to doing. It's what you prefer. And yeah, if you want to grow, you have to step outside of that. You know, you have to do what they say in psychology is that the best way to predict a person's behavior in the future is to look at their past. And the reason for that is because most people stay within their comfort zone. They stay in the same situations. They don't try new things very much when they get older. And so, yeah, if you're staying in your comfort zone and if you're staying in the same situation, then you're not going to change as much as you could. And your potential will be limited. You won't learn as much. But if you define a future self that's above and beyond where you are right now, yeah, it'll take courage to start moving in that direction. You'll have to start trying things that reflect your future life rather than your current life. And yeah, that will take courage, but that's where you start to learn and grow. That's how you become more flexible and confident as a person. That's where your learning and your experience really becomes intense. And life becomes a lot better that way. I don't know if you've ever heard of the book Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
No.
Okay, it's a really important book. It was written like 50 years ago. It was about one of the Jews who survived the German concentration camps in World War II. Mm-hmm. But anyways, the book's all... So he talks about what happened in the concentration camps and about why some people survived and why some people died. And he said that the reason some people were able to survive is because they had a purpose to live. They had meaning in their existence, even when they were in a concentration camp and all their family had been killed. And the only way to have meaning and purpose is to have a future that you're planning towards. If you don't have a future, then you have no meaning and no hope in your life. So the only way to actually enjoy the present and to have a good experience today, and good doesn't mean pleasurable. Good means that you're satisfied and you're having meaning. And sometimes that means challenge and learning and growth. And sometimes that means failing and being hurt. But having a good present requires that you're working towards and seeking a good, like a future that matters to you. You need a future in order to really live in the present, or else your life won't have that much meaning and purpose.
During this lockdown, it's quite difficult sometimes to visualize what is next. I kind of have a feeling that this is a worldwide trauma that is linked to the COVID-19. Do you believe this pandemic can impact our personality?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think some people have made adjustments in what they do because of the pandemic, don't you?
Yeah, for sure.
I think that it makes you look, makes you look at things a little differently, maybe make different decisions, maybe reprioritize, or maybe some people are really anxious and scared.
And how to overcome this? How actually, do you have an exercise that we can do to envision the person that we want to be at the end of this lockdown, for example?
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that has been researched a lot is basically what people regret when they're on their deathbed. And the number one regret is that people didn't have the courage to be who they wanted to be. Instead, they lived up to the expectations of those around them. So they didn't have the courage to be who they really wanted to be. When you're thinking about this COVID-19 situation, there's really only a few different ways you can go about this. You could just try to get through it. You can just try to get to the end, where you're just trying to get to the end, and basically everything in between is kind of not happy, not enjoyable. We're just trying to get through the day. Or you could try to squeeze as much juice out of this experience as you can, just like you could out of a workout. You know, you can just try to get to the end of the workout, or you could try to squeeze as much juice out of the workout as you can. You can try to get to the end of the day, or you can try to squeeze as much out of the day as you can. And I think that in order to squeeze the most out of it, you've got to have a purpose. You've got to have a goal. And so I would ask your listeners to create a purpose for what they're trying to accomplish during COVID-19. What does success look like? Where do they want to be when this is over? Because without that, you can't really guide your current behavior. And if you have that goal, then you can accomplish something really great, even during this terrible situation. And you can realize that it's really not that terrible. It can actually become a great situation, because you get to be the one who chooses the meaning you give to this situation. You can choose to see the situation as terrible, or you can choose to see it as an amazing blessing. That's up to you. it's not objective. And so I think creating a vision or a goal or a plan or a purpose for what you want to do and be during this period of time, and then showing up and making the most out of this experience while maybe a lot of other people are just depressed and just trying to get to the end of it, you could be actually living your life in a really beautiful way. And that's what I've done. You know, I mean, I'm not living perfectly, but we, you know, my wife and I, we have 5 kids, and I'm doing lots of interviews like this, doing a lot of writing, a lot of pondering, a lot of exercise, and just a lot of playing with my kids. And I think we're really enjoying it. I mean, I'm not saying that we do wish things were back to normal in some way or form. You know, it's not like this is ideal, but we're still enjoying our life. And I'm still getting an enormous amount done in my work and still learning. And so our lives are moving forward. That's one of the things that actually Viktor Frankl talks about in Man's Search for Meaning. He says, sometimes you can't control the situation, but you can always control how you interact with the situation. You can always control how you choose to handle and deal with the situation. And that is our responsibility, is to decide how we will respond and interact with the situation.
Has the lockdown been a good opportunity to find new activities or new vision for the future for you?
Not really. My future hasn't changed very much because of the lockdown. I know a lot of people's has. Mine hasn't really. My future is quite the same.
What you were saying earlier, there is a big correlation, a big link between personality and purpose. As I was telling you earlier, this podcast is really about how to get closer to a purpose-driven life. How can our personality resonate with what we do for a living, in your opinion?
Your personality should not be the thing that determines your goals. That's how I think most people do it. Most people, they try to figure out their personality so they can then pursue goals that fit their personality. Instead, I think that your goals should be the thing that determine your personality. So rather than your personality determining your goals should determine your personality. That's a little bit of a distinction. Rather than saying, this is who I am, I'm going to do things that fit me, it's what do I really want and who do I need to become in order to have what I want? And that requires you to change. So I think that what this really is it's choosing what you really want and becoming the kind of person that can have it, and then learning that you can have more and better things once you build more confidence and more knowledge and more desire. You can create a much better life for yourself if you choose to. And it's about transforming yourself into someone who can have a better life, rather than just saying, this is who I am, so I'll just create the life that fits me.
And how do you define a goal?
It's basically just a clear, measurable, and desirable outcome. It's something that you want in the future that's meaningful to you, that gives your life purpose in pursuing it. It's something that, gives you a sense of purpose and meaning as you pursue it.
Do you have, I did that exercise actually yesterday with my boyfriend, was just like setting, just writing down dreams that we had. And we didn't have any specific exercise following it, but just writing down those. And out of it came out some goals. I thought those exercise was quite meaningful. We just came up with lots of different things we wanted to do. I want to switch on personality tests, because I used to love personality tests. They give me that kind of ego boost I'm usually searching for. One of the favorite I have is the Gallup Strength Finder. But I kind of understood through your lines that they can be harmful. And why is that, in your opinion?
They can be harmful in a lot of reasons. I'm wondering, actually, if you would share with me how these tests give you an ego boost.
I had the feeling, I didn't read the result for quite a while now because they're a bit old. But first of all, when I read them, I do know that they're not permanent. And they kind of, I go to those personality tests in a moment of life where I'm questioning, I'm trying to search where do my talent, what my talents are, and where can they resonate, and what kind of exercise can I do to even strengthen my talents, to make them, I don't know, clearer, stronger, to be able to talk about them as well when I have a conversation with a client or a company I want to partner with. So yeah, they put words on concept usually that I'm not especially able to identify by myself, because I'm in that period of time where I'm questioning a lot of things.
So how do they boost your ego though?
By telling positive stuff about who I am. They kind of label me, that's for sure. But giving a label is giving a word that, as I was saying, help me to identify strength would be the ego boost. Have you tried the Gallup one?
Yeah, I've done most of them.
Okay.
I'll first off start by saying these tests are not the best way to define a human being. They're an interesting picture that they can give of someone, but they don't actually provide a full picture of who you are as a person. I just barely took a personality test this morning just to test it. And it was a horrible test. It's the test actually I talk about in the book. First, I talk about the color code in the book and how that test almost led my wife to not marrying me because she and her parents were worried about my score. Someone was asking me if I would take the test again just to see if I would get the same score. So I took the test this morning. And it's interesting when you really kind of understand how tests are designed. You can really see when it's bad, a bad test. And in this case, in most of these tests that create over, that really categorize you, they're really bad science. But this test, as an example, it was asking me to answer the questions as I would be as a child. So it's like, answer these questions the way you would handle the situation as a child. And obviously, like, I can't really answer that clearly because I don't know how. I'm 32 years old now, and I don't really know exactly how I would do these things as a child. So I did my best to answer the question, but a lot of the questions just seemed like none of the answers were correct. And I think that's one of the challenges is you eventually just have to pick one, because even though none of them really fit, you have to pick one, you know? And anyways, it was kind of funny, but I'll explain a few of kind of the really important reasons why these tests should be ignored. Mm-hmm. They're really not the best way to self-awareness or self-understanding. But what they do is when you have a label, when you've given yourself a label, you tend to think that the label is always true. You know, you think that whatever that label is, it's always true, and it's not always true. We as people are different in different situations. Sometimes we may be really social. Sometimes we may be really quiet. Sometimes we may be happy. Sometimes we may be sad. We're not just one type of person 24/7. In all situations. We're a lot more complex than that. And situations really matter. And we have different roles. You know, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a writer, I'm a friend. Sometimes I'm just a person. And so I'm not always the same Benjamin Hardy. Sometimes I'm different. And so context matters more than content. But these tests, they give you one score and you assume that that score is always true, which is really kind of immature thinking about people. Well, you're not always exactly the same. But also these tests lead you to being mindless. So Ellen Langer, she's at Harvard. She's been studying mindfulness for about 40 years. And she finds that when people overly assume a label, when they have a label for themselves, they don't notice all the times when the label is not true. So if someone says that they're depressed, they think that they're always depressed. But actually, if you looked at their behavior and their day, there would be many times throughout a day when they actually aren't feeling depressed or actually happy. But when you have a label, you don't notice those times. You're mindless to those times. And so you want to be mindful. You want to notice when things are slightly different. You want to be aware. When you're aware, that you can then create situations to help you grow and change rather than just trying to overly think that you are one way all the time. Another big problem is that when you have a label, you believe that it's who you really are. And so what you do is you try to confirm the label. You try to prove that the label is true. And so you create relationships and situations and you have a story. We all have a narrative, a way we describe ourselves. And so if you really describe yourself with your label, I'm an introvert or I'm a this, then you're really trying to prove that that's true because that's how you see yourself. That's your identity. And so you set goals and you get in relationships and you pursue things that try to confirm the label and you try to make it more and more true rather than trying to disprove it. And so having a label and really owning your current identity is really, it's a bad way to grow. If you're wanting to create a great life and if you're wanting to expand and grow and improve your situation and achieve huge goals, you shouldn't overly label yourself. You also shouldn't overly hold on to who you currently are. Instead, you should focus on who you really, really want to be. And instead of, and when you do that, then you don't worry so much about who you are today. Instead, you're more focused on the person you want to be and trying to be that person. And you're not ashamed. You don't need a big ego boost. Instead, you need humility and you need to learn because you're not yet the person you want to be. You've got a lot of learning to do and a lot of ups and downs and failures. And that's a better, more humble way to live than having the ego to say, this is who I am.
Can we live without any labels at all?
I think you can use labels. I think that some labels can be beneficial to your goals. There's certain labels that you may really want that really resonate with the person you're trying to become. I mean, you could call yourself a writer as an example, if that's who you want to become. I think you need to be really careful about how you define yourself. If it clearly resonates with the person you want to become, then that's fine. You know, and if it, you know, I know some people would say like, I'm a Christian. And I think that that really resonates with their values. That resonates with who they want to become. But you don't want to label yourself in a way that limits your ability to grow. You don't want to label yourself in a way that limits your ability to achieve goals and to expand as a person. And so many labels, the way people describe themselves, literally stop them from being able to change and grow. Instead, it stops them from being flexible and it leads them to being rigid in how they see themselves and in how they deal with the world. It stops them from stepping out of comfort zone. I think a label should lead you to becoming something better if you use it. And even then you shouldn't think that the label is always, sometimes it's true and it could always be true, but I think we need to be really careful about how we define ourselves. We have to be really thoughtful in how we define ourselves.
And to get back to one point, you were talking earlier about self-awareness, consciousness. What is the best way when you're in that search of yourself and you kind of want to work on it, except working on the goals, like kind of summarize where you're at a specific moment? What is the best way for self-awareness?
I think journaling is really powerful. I think having conversations with people you really care about and expressing your feelings, expressing your goals and desires and getting, you know, the right types of feedback. Mm. I think journaling is a good one, you know, and meditation and really thinking about who you want to be. I think knowing where you are right now is sort of important, but it's not the most important thing. Being honest about what you want to do and where you want to go. I mean, that's more important than being so aware of who you are today. I think you can acknowledge, and I think with some self-honesty, I think we all know ourselves more than we think we do. I would say that rather than trying to discover who you are, it's far more important to decide who you want to be. I think that that's a much better decision, because you could be looking for yourself for the rest of your life. You could be trying to discover yourself and trying to define yourself and, you know, find the needle in the haystack. You could be looking for a long time, and that looking may not lead you anywhere. One thing that's really important with all of this, though, is that I'm not saying you shouldn't express yourself. Like, one of the things that stops people from growing, actually, is that they don't take the time to express their emotions. They don't share how they're feeling. So, I mean, I think you could, you know, if you're having a bad day, it's really good to journal about that, to get those emotions and feelings out. There's actually a really good quote. There's a few. One's from Frankl, again, Viktor Frankl, and he says that, you know, emotions stop. They cease to be suffering when you've clearly defined them. So this is what we call emotional regulation in psychology. So like when you've had negative experiences in your past, or when you're having a bad day, it's good to define that. It's good to write out how you're feeling or how this has impacted you. It's also good to share your challenges with other people. It's also really good to share your goals with other people. I think the thing that confuses people is that they're caught up in their emotions and they don't know how to clear the fog. They're kind of confused by their own emotions and they haven't clearly defined them. What Mr. Rogers used to have a TV show. It was really famous for kids. And he said, anything that is human is mentionable. Anything that is mentionable is manageable. And so the idea is when you mention and you're open and honest about what you're experiencing, then you can start to manage it and you can start to be clear about how to handle it. And so I think self-awareness is really about just being clear on how you're feeling and where you're at, and then ultimately what you want, and just being open and honest about what you want and moving in that direction, rather than suppressing how you feel, rather than suppressing what you want, and rather than trying to just live up to the expectations of those around you. You're honest about how you're feeling, even if you're going through something really hard. Because once you're honest about it, then you can see it and then you can manage it and you can realize it's not that big a deal. Then the suffering can stop. But also, once you're honest about your goals, about the person you want to be, then you can start living courageously and you can start getting encouragement and support. But to me, those things are the things to be aware of and to be working towards, rather than trying to overly define who you think you are. I think that when you've gotten better at dealing with your emotions, and if you've gotten better at deciding meaningful goals and then moving towards those, then you get really clear on where you're at and where you want to go.
One question that comes to my mind is, I read an article recently about how personal development was kind of tiring us a bit, like not leaving us that space to pause, because we're always trying to become the best version of ourselves. I wanted to have your opinion on this point, to see, like, do you still have spaces of time where you actually maybe pause and stop looking at how to evolve and improve and become all the time a best version of yourself?
Yeah, I think that there's some really important, you have to have recreation. You've got to have humor. You've got to have hobbies. I mean, you've got to have a life. But I think that that life only has meaning if it's going somewhere. So, I mean, I think that it's important to have perspective, you know? I think that this is one thing that religion or spirituality provides for people, is it gives this life perspective. But I think that a big part of life is about enjoying, you know, and just, you know, exploring. I mean, I think that, or just engaging, you know, playing games. Like, I mean, I swim with my kids, play games with my kids. I go on walks and listen to music. Last night, I went on for a run and listened to music. I mean, I think that there's a lot to be enjoyed and experienced. And all of that can fuel and help you as you're trying to become someone that you want to be. It doesn't need to tire you. I think it would tire you if you don't really have a purpose for that growth. If you're just trying to grow, that could really burn out your willpower. You know what I mean? I think you have to have a reason for it. And once you have a reason for it, then that becomes kind of a life mission. And so it doesn't exhaust you. It actually gives you energy. Like, just as an example, and I'm just going to be open and honest, like I have very strong beliefs about God, you know, and I believe that we have a purpose for being here on this planet. I actually believe we lived with God before we came here, and that we came here to learn, to grow, to have a lot of experiences. And so for me, I see life as an education. but also just a great, beautiful experience. You know, so I don't overly cling to my mistakes. Like, I think that mistakes are a way for learning. But I also think that there's a lot more after this life. Like, and I'm just sharing my religious or my spiritual beliefs openly just to say, because I have those views, I don't get exhausted by growth because I believe that we're here to grow. But I also think we're here to just experience life and have fun, and that it doesn't always have to be serious. Like, and I think that there's a lot of space for enjoyment. And, you know, like we enjoy, like my wife and I recently went to Chicago and we just spent 2 or 3 days there. This was before COVID-19, and just ate at a bunch of really great restaurants just because we like food, you know? And like, I mean, I think that there's so much beauty to life and simplicity. I actually really like, you know, aspects of Europe as well. Like, you know, like painting and architecture. I mean, I think that all of these things make life more beautiful, and creativity and things like that. So it's, I think rather than looking at it one way or the other, I think it's just that, you know, growth is a big part of life. So is beauty. So are relationships. So is art. I think it's all just a beautiful aspect of the experience. And so for me, it's not really exhausting. For me, it's more inspiring. Just as I learn more, I kind of see that this life is increasingly purposeful and beautiful and inspiring and enjoyable. Even the small things, like enjoying a piece of bread with toast, you know, toast and butter and jam, whatever, just like life. I just think it can be simple and enjoyable, but also incredibly deep and serious.
And all of those experiences can really feed, nurture them, the goals, the purpose, the inspiration to actually find them as well, I guess.
Yeah, I will say though, kind of, I really like the quote from Dan Sullivan. He says, the bigger the future, the better the present. And I think that there's a lot of experiences that people don't have because they're not striving for a future. Like I know that some of the experience, like I know as an example, I recently took my brother to a treatment facility because he's struggling with addictions. The experiences that I get to have on a regular basis, my brother can't have because he's not striving for a future. And because I've been striving for a future for like the last 10 years, my life situation's a lot different. I've got financial freedom. I've got 5 kids. I have a great family. I have a great house. I have a great career. Like none of those things my brother has. And so like there's aspects of my daily life that I get to just enjoy that are not all about moving towards a goal. They're just about literally enjoying my situation that are only available to me because I'm working towards a future that he doesn't have access to because he's only been focused on the present. He's actually been avoiding the future because he's still so focused on the past or on numbing himself because of his pain and his addictions. And so I think what's important to realize here is I like the quote that the bigger your future, the better your present. A big aspect of that means you're actively working towards goals. But another aspect is that you're learning how to deepen relationships. You're having better experiences as far as quality experiences. You're improving kind of your taste. There's a really good quote that says that basically intelligence is the ability to make finer distinctions. You know, when you get, you know, more intelligent or when you learn, you can make finer distinctions. You know, you can, you know, I actually don't drink alcohol, but I'm just thinking like you can, you know, enjoy better wine, you know, like, or cheese. Yeah, I'm just thinking like you can discern things better. You can have better conversations. You can enjoy fitness more. I mean, I'm just thinking you can become higher quality in what you do when you're striving for a future rather than just doing the same thing over and over and over.
Benjamin, what is your definition for success?
I think that definition will always keep changing. You know, how I define success in the past is different than how I define success now, and my future self will define success differently. I don't think it's just one answer. I think that, I mean, obviously I can give you my answer today.
Yeah, today would be nice.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. Like my answer today though is a reflection of where I'm at right now. And in the future, I'm going to be in a different place. Hopefully I'm in a better place where I can give you a better definition. But I think that for me, success is about using your time well, you know, obviously helping and serving other people. And I think that it's kind of ultimately living the purpose that you were here to live. And so I don't feel successful when I've wasted my time. That for me, wasting is usually in the form of overly consuming things that aren't really contributing. Like I feel successful when I'm investing in another person, or when I'm creating something, or when I'm actively doing something. So I think success is really in like living and serving and connecting, giving, sharing, learning. I just think, you know, so there's not really like a, you know, clear cut answer. Like, you know, success isn't being a millionaire, you know, or, you know, there is a quote though that I do live by though, that no other success can compensate for failure in the home. So for me, it doesn't matter how successful I am at writing. It doesn't matter that my blogs have been read 100 million times. Like, it doesn't matter how much money I make. Like, no other success can compensate for failure in the home. So for me, my ultimate success is my family and my faith. Like, to me, that matters more than anything. I would happily remove everything I've done. I'd happily remove all of my other goals for those things. And so I think it's important to kind of strip things down and to ask what really matters to you. And are you actually investing in those things, or are you focused on maybe lesser matters?
Thanks for sharing. I'm arriving to the question of the end because we're very close to the time limit. And I usually start this with a nonsense question. The name of the podcast is Insensé, which means nonsense in French. It's kind of a play of word. The nonsense question is, what is the weirdest side of your personality today?
I don't know. I mean, I think everyone has their own definition of weird. But I think the thing that, I mean, I have a weird relationship with food. Let's just say that. Like, you know, I sometimes eat really healthy, and then sometimes I eat non-healthy. I mean, I don't know. I also watch a lot of sports that is like, I watch a lot of sports commentary. That's something I didn't used to do. And that's something I know I won't do in the future, but right now I watch a lot of sports commentary on YouTube.
Okay. That's funny.
Yeah. And that's something that, like, I think, you know, it's like, I don't really like see myself doing that in the future, but it's something that is enjoyable for me right now in this chapter as I'm kind of working towards my specific goals. It's a good outlet. It's a good way to like escape and just kind of relax for a minute.
Benjamin, why do you do what you do today?
I do what I do today because it's very meaningful. I get a lot of joy out of learning and creating, helping other people. I also have really big goals that I'm striving for that matter to me a lot. Like, I write and I do stuff like this to help other people because I believe that these ideas really matter and I want to inspire other people to live better. But also, I want to continually put myself in a situation where I can help people better and better. And so I have a future self that I'm striving to become. And that future self is not so that I can have like fancy cars and like, you know, it's like, it's, I want to continually be in a situation where I can help people at a higher level, serve better. And so by doing what I'm doing today, I'm striving to put myself in a, continually striving to put myself in a situation where I can help people even more in the future. But also, another reason why I'm doing what I do today is for my family, you know, like to provide for them and to hopefully create great experiences for them and just to enjoy life.
What is sacred to you?
Definitely my relationship with God, my faith, my family is very sacred to me. My time is sacred.
And what helps you to stay connected to yourself?
Prayer, journaling, being with close friends, exercise.
Do you have now a recommendation that you could give to your younger self, Benjamin teenager, for example?
Yeah, I think that I would have recommended, or I would tell him, first off, of course, the assurance that everything will be okay, because there's a lot of uncertainty towards the future. And it's really nice to be assured that things will be okay. And I think that when you even ask your future self how things will go, they provide a lot of assurance and, you know, and comfort and encouragement. I would encourage my younger self to not push off the future, because I did that for a long time. I pushed off the future and didn't do anything, and I distracted myself for a really long time. So I would encourage my younger self to surround myself with the types of people who are going somewhere in their life, and to, you know, start reading and learning and preparing. I think preparing, you know, in my case, I would have told him to start preparing for that mission experience. I think actively preparing for something is really meaningful. And I was not preparing. I was avoiding the future. So I would tell him, first off, it's okay. Everything's going to be okay, to support your family, because my family was really struggling. And we still do struggle sometimes. Support the family, prepare for the mission, and be around people who can help you get there rather than people who will kind of pull you the wrong direction. Those are the things that I would tell him.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing. Now, do you have a motto to share? Something that helps you get up in the morning?
I like the concept, do what is right, let the consequence follow.
Okay. I like it too.
I have a lot of other mottos as well. You know, like 100% is easier than 98%. I like do what is right, let the consequence follow. I like you make or break your life before 8 a.m., stuff like that.
Okay. Do you have a book to recommend that have allowed you to do a mind shift or helped you to grow change your perception on life?
I've read so many that it's kind of hard to pinpoint. I mean, obviously there's like kind of the big spiritual books, you know, that are kind of just timeless, the Bible, Book of Mormon, stuff like that. But like, as far as like a non-religious book, it's weird. Less and less does one book really matter. I will say there are, I like the book, The Body Keeps the Score. That's a really good book. I also like the book, Too Soon Old, Too Late Smart. So those are two separate books, Too Soon Old, Too Late Smart, and The Body Keeps the Score. Those are really amazing books. What else really kind of strikes? Oh, there's another book called The Big Leap. The Big Leap is a great book. That's one that I've gotten a lot out of.
Okay. We'll share all the references in the description of the episode. My next question is regarding a mentor or an inspiring person that have helped you to become who you are today.
Yeah, mentor. I've had so many mentors and still do, but a friend of mine named Wayne Beck. Wayne Beck has really helped me a lot. He's not like a famous person on the internet, but he's someone who's really helped me. I had a mentor in college named Nate Lambert. He really helped me become a better writer. And he really motivated me to kind of become more ambitious and set bigger goals for myself. I had a mission president, someone who, my leader when I was a missionary, really helped me to let go of some of the past and to, you know, to set bigger goals. And he helped me to realize that, you know, he gave me a lot of self-esteem or self-confidence and just helped me to believe that I was a good missionary. I've had more formal mentors, you know, like Ryan Holiday was a mentor for a while, as far as the writer Ryan Holiday. Tucker Max is a mentor. He's a writer. He's helped me become a better writer. Dan Sullivan, Joe Polish. Those are some of the mentors that I've had. I've had many other mentors, though.
Mm-hmm. I love the quote that I found that Ryan Holiday said about you, saying Benjamin Hardy is proof of what he writes about. I thought it was quite inspiring. Do you have a recommendation for someone that is trying to align who they are and what they believe in and what they do in a daily basis?
Yeah, I think that you need to define your future self and who you want to be and really where you want to be as a person, maybe in 3 years from now. And then you need to start telling everyone about your goals. Tell everyone about who you want to be and then start investing money into your goals and start educating yourself on those goals. And eliminating the things in your life that are keeping you stuck. You need to start really educating yourself on the person you want to be, whether that's to be a writer, like learn how to do it effectively. If it's, you know, to be a musician, like learn how to do that well. Like really educate yourself and invest in mentoring, invest in education. And and tell everyone about your goals. Even the people who don't support you, tell them where you're going. That really helps you to believe that that's what you want for yourself. So I think those are some of the things I would share.
Thank you. Then I would like to have two truths and one lie, but don't tell us which one is which.
The past is more important than the present. The present is less important than the future. And what you do today matters a lot.
Perfect. Thank you. So usually when I'm having those interview physically, I hand over a magic stick. Her name is Ashanti. It's a wooden doll, yellow wooden doll. She's originally from Ghana. Over there, she's a symbol of fertility. So the woman carries that doll in their back until the pregnancy arrives. Over here, I kept that symbol of fertility of ideas that make sense, of inspiring ideas. And the idea is, by handing over that magic stick virtually to you, is to ask you to make a wish for this word to make a bit more sense, to be a bit more purpose-driven. What would be your wish?
I think that probably the wish would be kind of greater faith and spirituality, which I think would improve a lot of the problems. You know, we'd be less caught up in the media, less angry towards each other. We'd be more compassionate and understanding. So I think in greater faith in God and connection to the self. And I think that's kind of the wand I would wave.
Thank you. I'm taking back the stick virtually. My very last question is, do you have someone that has aligned fully what they believe in and what they do on a daily basis that I should welcome on the Insensé podcast anytime soon?
I have no idea. Maybe I might think of like Richie Norton or something like that. Like I can think about it, and I'll have Connie send you a recommendation if I think of someone. Absolutely.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your experience.
You're welcome.
Je vous remercie chaleureusement pour votre écoute. Les épisodes évoluent avec vos retours et commentaires ainsi que votre soutien. Si cet épisode vous a plu, la meilleure manière de soutenir le podcast Insensé, laissez 5 étoiles et un commentaire sur Apple Podcasts. Je me réjouis de les mettre en lumière en début d'épisode. Vous pouvez aussi suivre la page Instagram @insensé_ et partager sans compter. Car quand on aime, on ne compte pas. Ashanti et moi, on vous remercie d'avance. Derrière le podcast Insensé, un magicien du son. Son nom, Benjamin Roa. Il monte un studio pour les podcasteurs. Sa promesse, un grand respect des oreilles des auditeurs pour une qualité d'écoute confortable. Il travaille le rythme, les enchaînements, supprime les respirations, les bruits de micro et j'en passe. Benjamin, c'est un chic type de Marseille. Il est surtout sound designer. Il accompagne les podcasteurs, les comédiens en home studio et tous les métiers de l'audiovisuel. Et voilà ce qu'il propose. De la formation, de l'aide au setup des outils, mais aussi du montage et du mixage. Retrouvez ses coordonnées en description de l'épisode. Merci Benjamin. N'oubliez pas d'aller regarder tous les liens utiles et sensés disponibles dans la description de l'épisode sur votre app d'écoute favorite. À dans 2 semaines! Comprenez bien le sens, qu'il soit propre, sale ou figuré. Sans aller dans mon sens, non, ne me brossez pas dans le sens du poil. Faites appel à vos 5 sens, mettez-vous sans dessus-dessous, car non, ce n'est pas à sens unique, mais bien à double sens.
Waouh ! Je crois que ce surmenage nous guette tous.
Ah ben alors ?
La vie moderne étant ce qu'elle est.
Vous bossez, vous bossez, vous bossez, vous bossez.
What's your purpose ? What's your cause ? What's your belief ?
C'est du bon pain. Craquer au bureau.
Bolche !
Réfléchissez.
Décrivez.
La vie a-t-elle un sens ?
Qui suis-je ?
Il est complètement fou, ce mec !